Today on Real Radio.
When we surrender to Jesus everything, we have nothing anymore to defend. We're free. And God will defend us. We have nothing more to protect. God will protect us. It's not about us.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative or gospel written by Luke. We're in a mini-series taken from Luke 7 and verses 18 through 35. This is a passage that contains the words of Messiah speaking of the last of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, and in quite favorable terms. Yet, like most other individuals we read of in Scripture, John the Baptist had his share of shortcomings, as do you and I. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in this series called, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt?
God has forgotten about your past. Stop reminding him. God has forgotten about your past. Stop dwelling back there. Yeah, but you know what? I can't do this for God because I had this kind of upbringing, or I was treated this way by my parents or by my brother. Forget it. Stop thinking about it. Give it to God and move on. You are much more resilient in Christ than you think. But Jack, I have a low self-esteem. You know what? Low self-esteem's not low enough. It needs to go to the... Did you hear that? Some of you are in shock. What? Low self-esteem is not low enough. I just made that up, by the way. You want to write that down? Low self-esteem, listen, is not low enough, because if you want to be lifted up, you need to put yourself at the foot of the cross, my friend, all the way down, down. I mean, down there. Lord, here I am. And the Lord picks you up. He raises you by your chin. He pulls you up and he looks into your eyes and he says, now I can tell you, because you'll believe it, that I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. And he just picks you right up. See, we think, well, if I just have more self-esteem, or listen, we already love ourselves. That's part of the problem. We need to get down, get down, get down. God will pick you up. As a new creation, I'm glad to be at the foot of the cross. As a new creation, I want Jesus to be ahead of my life. I don't want my life to be ahead of Jesus. Brother, I've tried that. It doesn't work. You just get a bloody nose. It's a rough way to live. But the qualifier to that statement in 2 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 1 is in Christ. Are you in Christ? A moment ago, you raised your hands. If we were taking a test or an exam, or you know when you go down, you know when you get on the log ride, I guess it is, at Disneyland, or is that not, I don't know, doesn't matter. You know those rides, though, you get on those rides, and just before your stomach comes out of your mouth, they have that automatic thing that takes the picture of your group, and then you can buy it when you recover down at the bottom. And there you are, you know, you're screaming or you're hanging on. I hate that stuff. I don't do roller coasters. I love flying airplanes. I'll take the space shuttle to Mars. I don't care. I love that stuff. But I do not get on a roller coaster. You are not to tempt the Lord thy God. Oh, but it's that falling feeling. I don't like it. Oh, it's like it's never going to end. Like a bottomless pit? Just falling and falling. I hate that thing. But you see this picture of, you are in that log, going over that cliff, going 100 feet down, and you're not getting out. Well, listen, instead of going down, I would rather be in Christ. Go ahead and take a picture of this, you know. In Christ as we go up. Up in prayer, up in worship, up in service to God, up in fellowship, up in encouragement, up in the rapture, may it be right now, amen. Let's go up. Take a picture of that, Disneyland. Oh, there they go in the rapture. We're like this. Can you imagine? Awesome. Are you in Christ? See, God's promises are yes, and when you begin to understand God's promises are yes, it slays doubt in God's promises. It just slays doubt. And you stand firm. As weak and frail as we are, we can be firm and strong in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 is a wonderful passage. Ephesians 4, 23, the Bible says there, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man." You got to put him on daily, by the way, "which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." This new man, this new person, is all about you and I now living in Christ. John chapter 3, this is how you live in Christ. This is the answer. But Jack, how do I get into Christ? John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again or recreated from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 7, Jesus said it, "Do not marvel that I said to you," he's speaking to Nicodemus, "you must be born again." The word in Greek is Nicodemus. You are a very religious, good, wonderful man. Jesus told the highest ranking member there, "I tell you, unless you're born from above, that is recreated by the Spirit of God, you will never see the kingdom of heaven." In Philippians 3:20, the Bible says, "For our citizenship is in heaven," that is heaven above, "from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior," that is Jesus Christ, "to come." God's promises were challenged. And John the Baptist is asking the question, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" You know, I know that some scholars say that John was not doubting. I have a hard time with this. They're trying to tell me what was in John's mind. They say John wasn't doubting. It wasn't John's moment of doubt. His disciples were doubting, so John sent his disciples to go talk to Jesus so that they could be straightened out. I don't buy that. John sends them to ask the question, "Are you the coming one?" John the Baptist, the great minister of God, the forerunner of the Messiah, was now in prison. And we covered that in detail last time together. He was beginning to doubt. No human being, even Moses who saw the Lord and heard the voice of the Lord, had times of doubt. And so will you and I. But the great thing is, we don't stay there. When we doubt the Lord's promises, though, we are challenging God's authority, Christian. That's what happens. See, Jack, it doesn't feel like that, but that's exactly what's happening. When God says this to us, we either doubt him or believe him. When we doubt him, we are doubting his authority over our lives. And the cure for doubting God's promises, look at verse 22. Jesus said, "Go and tell John the things that you've seen and heard." And he gives that litany of proof text of the coming of the Messiah. "Go tell John that the word of God, the Bible, is being fulfilled." That was the answer. By the way, and along the way of our Christian life, my friend, you and I, as Christians, are to preach the kingdom of God with what we say and what we do. Jesus not only preached it, he did it. And you and I are to do that to some degree or another. That's very important. We are either preaching the kingdom of God at one moment, or we're turning around and trying to comfort a hurting world in the other. It is one way or the other in our lives if we're serving the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that, because listen, this world is prone to death, danger, decay, attack, fear. If you've got all your eggs in this basket called planet Earth, boy, you need to stay tuned and listen in. You need hope. Number 7, why do we struggle with doubt? Because doubt resists letting go. See, we struggle with doubt because doubt enables us, we think, to hang on to things. The truth is, doubt resists us letting go. When we live by faith, we rest in the hands of God, Christian, and we won't worry about things. We won't fret or panic about the things that seem to be going against us. What has happened even this week against you? Now, don't shout anything out. Just be quiet for a moment here, but think over here. What has happened this past week that you view as against you? I've got a list of things personally. As you go across, as you think about it, as I scan across this gathering of people, all of us have a response to that. For some, it may be one thing. I viewed this as being against me. That officer gave me a ticket, and I didn't go that far into the intersection. Or whatever it might be. This person said something about me. My wife hurt me. My husband hurt me. My kids, whatever it might be. Listen, what are you going to do with it? Good or bad, true or false, take it to the Lord. Because what happens is if you begin to nurse it and take care of it, this little thing begins to grow, and you'll begin to seed and fuel and nurture this thing of doubt, and you will wind up resisting God being in control of that thing, whatever it is. From stubbing your toe to losing a loved one, you will either try to reckon it and reason it out with God or without God. God's in control of every aspect of our lives. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. That is, God resists the person who's in charge of their own life. But he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves. Remember getting down? Look, please remember that. I didn't lay down on this stage for nothing here. Please. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God will lift you up at just the right moment. When we surrender to Jesus everything, we have nothing anymore to defend. We're free. And God will defend us. We have nothing more to protect. God will protect us. It's not about us. If we or you and I truly have faith in the Lord, we will enter into that rest that the author of the book of Hebrews spoke about. But when we doubt, we seek to have control. Christian, listen. Mark this down and test and see if this is not true. Every, quote, Christian who says that they know the Lord, but they're controlling, notice how much doubt is in operation in their lives. Think about it. There's a direct connection. When you are doubtful, you are by human nature controlling. You can't let someone develop. You can't just see what happens. You've got to be all over it. Why? Because you're doubting the Lord's presence in that situation. But if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, God is in everything in your life. No matter how wonderful it is or no matter how terrible it is, when it's wonderful, God is saying, see, look how great this is. Thank me. When it's terrible, let's say it's something you've gotten yourself into and you've really messed up, God is there. Is he not there? Saying, what are you doing here? Get out of here, Jack. Get back up there where I told you to go. He's there. I'm so glad for that. But I so rejoice with Job that in the end of his book, everything that comes into my life, in your life, Christian, is filtered by our Father in heaven. You either believe that or you don't. And for those of you who don't, you're going to wear your nails down thin biting them. You're going to get an ulcer. We should have had a prop this morning. Either trust God or get the Rolaids or the Melanta in the hallway. It's one or the other. Which is it? So important is this. Christian, Jesus Christ, Jesus Messiah, Jesus Christ our Lord, is the overseer, master, governor of our souls. The Bible gives Jesus even the title, the bishop of our souls, the captain of our souls. Isn't that a great word? Is he the bishop, the captain, the overseer of our souls? Well, he is, absolutely. But is it true for you? Have you let him be? You see, Jesus will not, listen, some of you are not going to like this. Just ushers, guard, just Mike, you're in the right spot. You block that door. Some of you might want to have Jesus as your Savior because you've got him as fire insurance. Ooh, I've sinned. I'll ask Jesus to forgive me. Okay, next Tuesday at 8 o'clock, yeah, we'll start sinning and then we'll really get into sin. And then I'll ask Jesus to forgive me. That's called antinomianism. That's a big word that means you're in big trouble. It means that you, in fact, the Old Testament called that sin of the high hand. What does that mean? Presumptuous sin. I will sin and then ask God to forgive me, you might have a shock coming. Did you know what the Bible says? God will not forgive that kind of sin. Do you know that? I thought Jesus forgave or forgives all sin. No. He will forgive all sin if you repent and confess it to him. Yeah, but I'm a Christian. I came to the Lord at the Billy Graham Crusade. Tell that to God. But God, I went all the way from seat section JJ5 all the way down there. I mean, surely that half a mile walk accounted for something. Nothing. But it was Billy Graham preaching. What if it was Jesus himself preaching? It doesn't matter. Unless what he is offering you resides in your heart. That's the difference between religion and a relationship. If you have a religion, you are going to keep the rules in a certain way. If you have a relationship, listen, church, rules don't even get in the way. Your experience with God is beyond rules. It's higher than rules. The Ten Commandments, holy, just, and awesome, pure. Before we realize what they mean, we've broken the first one. So then where do we start? If we've broken the first one, where do we begin? God says, you're in trouble unless you call out to me and ask for forgiveness. You see? That's why and how every one of us, no matter who we might be, if we will just resist, God will be in trouble. But if we just give up and surrender, God will give grace to the humble. But I want Jesus as Savior. Listen, he's Savior and Lord. That means he's the master, the ruler of our lives. You remember the rich young ruler? By the way, nowhere does it say in the Bible that he was the rich young ruler. This guy, out of the four Gospels, three Gospels mention him, and you got to read all three to find out the guy was rich. He's the guy that we all hate. He's rich, he's young, and he's got authority. Man, he's a yuppie of his day. He's got everything that the world has to offer. He comes to Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew 19:20. That young man had come to Jesus and they got in a dialogue. And by the way, he was moral. It should be the rich young ruler who was moral. He's a very moral guy. In fact, you know what? You would, how many dads of daughters, you've got daughters, raise your hands. You have daughters. Wow. Listen, that's the guy that we would say to our girls, go out with him. You know how dumb we are? Look at him. He just pulled up. He's got awesome car, man. Look at his car. Hey, honey, look at his car. Wow. Hey, look what he's wearing. He's coming up the porch looking good. He's rich. He's young. He owns a company. And he's very moral. You open the door. Hello. Well, hello, Mr. Hibbs. It's so nice to... Oh, make me sick. You know? So nice. So moral. Great guy. You'd have your daughter go out with him. He says to Jesus, I've done all these things. Jesus gives the list. Yeah, I've done all these things. Jesus was setting him up to experience the love of God if he'll take it. In Matthew 19:20, the young man said to Jesus, all these things I've done, I've kept since my youth. What do I lack yet? What's interesting, he understood that there was something missing in his life. Jesus said to him, if you want to be complete or perfect, go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Come and follow me. Follow me. I'll be your Lord and Savior. Come and follow me. Now, you all know the Bible. That's not how you get to heaven. Jesus didn't lie to him. Jesus actually exposed the truth to him. The truth is, you are a rich young ruler. You love things more than anything else. Go sell everything you have. Jesus, that's not how you get to heaven. You don't sell stuff to get to heaven. Jesus was pointing out to the man that he had so many idols in his heart that he couldn't understand the forgiveness and the relationship and the grace of God. So Jesus said, give it up. And the Bible goes on to say that that man being wounded in his heart went away. He left Jesus for his idols, for his owning of things and his position and his morality. And the Bible says Jesus was sad about that. You see, doubt's like spiritual cancer, my friend. And doubt, no doubt about it, Listen, doubt comes from information and knowledge used in an unauthorized way. Doubt's not altogether ignorant. When doubt is operating in our lives, more often than not, it takes information that we have, and rather than trusting in the Lord, we take the information that we have, we apply our rule over it, our control over it, our authority over it, and what it does is it begins to breed within us unauthorized thoughts. Unauthorized meaning that doubt is like cancer in the life of a spiritual man. Doubt is like cancer. Cancer is a bizarre thing, and you've heard me say this before. Cancer, everything's going fine. By the way, I don't want to bum you out too much, but did you know this? You know why it's so important you eat good? Because if we eat the right stuff, it scrubs our body. You know, just like you scrub your shower. You know, there's stuff starting to grow on your shower right now. You're sitting here right now and you're all happy. There's stuff at home growing right now in your shower. It's alive. If you scrape part of it off, a drop of water, and you put it under the microscope from your shower water, there's things swimming around there. They've got an eyeball. I mean, it's like, I'm joking about the eyeball, but it's like, I mean, it is alive. There's stuff inside your body that's alive constantly, and when you eat right, it scrubs away. When you and I fail to eat right or take care of ourselves, this cell or cells can become corrupt. One cell says, you know what? I've been hanging out here long enough. I want to do my own thing. Did you know that? That's what cancer is. Cancer says, I don't have to obey anybody.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? It's taken from Luke 7 and verses 18 through 35. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now again, this is a series within our series through the Gospel of Luke, and for a short time, it's available on DVD for your contribution to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio of any amount. So whether you call, click, or write, just ask for it by title, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? More than one way to get in touch with us, and in a moment we'll tell you how, so be sure and have pen in hand or keyboard at fingertips to take down the information. Meanwhile, we have Pastor Jack here to tell us about an upcoming event. Pastor Jack?
Mike, thank you very much. We are coming up on the Call to Fall outreach that literally spans America. And what that is a nationwide call for believers from sea to shining sea to get on their knees and to pray. The Call to Fall last year resulted in thousands and thousands of believers praying for revival, praying for our troops, praying for our leaders, praying for our government, and praying for God to have his way with America. Call to Fall. You can find out more about it by going to calltofall.com. That's call, the number two, fall.com. And when you go there, go to the section where it says, I'm in. And you can click on that button and be part of this amazing nationwide prayer gathering. And make a statement. Take a stand by falling on your knees. I encourage pastors and churches to take part of their Sunday morning service, just a few moments, to get on their knees. I tell you what, it's a moving thing. It's a powerful thing when a church physically gets on its knees on a Sunday morning and lifts up the concerns of our nation to our loving God. So let's meet at Call to Fall. God bless you.
Okay. Well, again, we do have a link to the Call to Fall website at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. That's our website here at Real Radio. Or you can give us a call toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.